Good morning, everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another episode of our conversation that we're conducting with industry experts, industry speakers, and from outside the industry as well. Today, I have the honor to speak with, to be a guest on the channel here, Tova Geisen. And Tova, welcome to the channel. The audience is looking forward to getting to know you, I'd like to get to know you. It's for the audience. This is my first call with Tova, and this recording will be about first us getting to know each other and the audience getting to know you as well and getting to know what you do and how can they take advantage of your expertise in the way they work in their life, personal life or business life. Welcome to the channel again.
Thank you, Rob, and I look forward to speaking with you today, and I'm so excited to be part of your show.
Excellent. Okay, so I know your profile on LinkedIn says you're a professional speaker, and earlier you mentioned you're a Toastmaster speaker as well, so let's get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, and thank you for that. Yes, I've been a Toastmaster now 16 years. And when I first heard about Toastmasters, I had no idea what it was. So for those out there, it has nothing to do with giving toasts. So it can be. And it's not about eating toast. And that's what I thought it was. But it's about helping others to be leaders and great communicators. I'm a six-time cancer survivor. I am blessed to have four children who are young adults now, and I'm a bubby, I'm a grandmother too, so I'm very excited about that. But the best part about it is one of my children was born on my birthday, and she had a son that's born on birthday, so the chances of that were very low. But I help others to spread the word about what they do, and I'm currently working for a company called SBW Sales. It's sbwsales.com, and I'm looking forward to helping others with marketing and business and coaching. And I just love to help others, and that's my core value.
And Tova, you're located in Toronto, right?
I am. Yes, I am.
So you've lived in the city all your life, or you've moved around?
Well, no, I've lived in the GTA, but I was born in Toronto many decades ago. I only admit to 25 years ago, but it's a lot longer than that. But yes, I've lived in Toronto. My family's also from Montreal, and I have family in the States, but I haven't really been a world traveler, not very much. And that's one of the things I'd love to do. But I do speak more than one language. Not well.
Oh, excellent. What languages do you speak, Tova?
Well, in high school and university, I studied Spanish and French, and I speak a little bit of Hebrew. But if you don't practice the languages, I tend to just forget. So I can understand them, but the speaking not so well anymore.
Absolutely. And you know that our channel is about languages, and it's about the industry that supports language transformation or language translation in general. And that's why we call it the Localization Fireside Chat. It's a fireside chat discussion. Tell me a little bit about how you help your prospects, I guess, or your subject in terms of whoever they are, customers, partners. How do you help them?
Well, I have one of the core values that I feel that everybody should have is kindness and nurturing relationships. So I like we're having a conversation today, having conversations, getting to know people. It's not about just when you go to a retail location, you get a transaction, you make a sale. It's not about that. It's about getting to know somebody, developing relationships, and having lifelong friendships that are also your clients. So really listening and hearing what their needs and what they want. And it's not a cookie cutter. Every single person that I meet has different needs. But the really funny thing is, Robin, you and I actually met a long time ago, and people from my past keep coming back into my current day. And even people from like public school and kindergarten, you know, I recognize their faces and I thought, yeah, you look so familiar, but I've known them before and they've come back into my current day. So I think that's really interesting.
And, you know, funny, you mentioned that we met, you know, a long time ago. I was just going through your profile and I'm reminded that you and I have 122 common connections. You know, the world is small. And, you know, LinkedIn is always reminding me of the sixth degree of separation for some reason, that we're all connected at some level somewhere in this vast universe.
I think it's 0.5 now. It used to be 6 degrees. I think it's 0.5 because we're all related. Yes, absolutely. For sure.
That's right. So tell me, how is business with you? How are you guys doing?
Well, you know what? Throughout COVID, everybody had their issues, their hiccups. But I always feel that it's what you make it. So we're actually restarting. We are regrowing. And we were in one type of field, which was just B2B. And now we're in B2C. And we're helping others. And we're going and finding new ways of doing something that we loved before. I noticed you have photography in the background.
That's my photography.
Beautiful, beautiful pictures. But it's not just about finding like a picture and doing something with it, or taking pictures and getting a camera and accessories. It's about finding passion. And that's really what I love to do, is help people find their passion, help them to grow. And some people will disagree with me right now, and they'll say, not everybody can be a photographer. But if you have a passion to enjoy art, then you can even show a little picture. And we help people to do that. So we have classes and do things like that too, which is great.
Excellent. And somebody says once, if you do in life what you're passionate about, it would not feel like work.
Yeah, you never work a day in your life because you love what you do. And by the way, you have to fail. I call it failing forward. You have to fail forward in order to find your passion. And sometimes you go on that fork in the road and it's the wrong way. And it's actually becomes a dead end. And then you have to go backwards and then go forward again, finding your path.
Absolutely. And you know, like most industries, our small industry, I would say, because our industry, comparatively speaking to other industries, is small industry. We're going through a transformative times like everybody else. And the cornerstone of that transformation is artificial intelligence, which is impacting everybody. And so it might feel to many of our industry professionals, employees, workers, however we want to classify them, that you are on a treadmill, but you have way out. I feel like there is an off-ramp somewhere to everyone. And I agree with you, like that desire to find your passion, to make the change. A lot of people are afraid of change, by the way. Change is not natural to human. I think human wants to create something, box order, whatever it is, and live within that dimensions that you created and don't change it. But life happens and job changes, industry changes, and we have to be able to accept those changes and you basically try something else that we like to do.
Exactly. And the word change, people like cringe. They hear the word change. It's like, oh my goodness, I hate that word. So don't even start with the word change. But what I find that is, as I age, and like a good wine, I learn more. And if you're open to learning more, I love AI. I'm loving embracing the changes through AI. But sometimes, you know, if you have an iPhone and you say the word, I call her Iris because her name backwards is her real name. And if you call Iris, she'll just start talking in front of, you know, even a fireside meeting. So that's why I had to call her Iris. We've had AI for a long time. It's from the 1950s, and it's how it's changing. And again, that word change, it's embracing the change.
That's right. And I do agree with you. Like if you look at any technology that we've seen through the years, it's the same process almost to everybody accepting that technology, regardless of what that is. It's like almost you're going through you know, when you lose a loved one, God forbid, you go through those stages of grief. You know, it's the same process, except a new technology in any industry. You know, you go through that, you know, shock first. The world is going to change now. Second is, okay, well, let me take a look at it. And the third one is, there are some flaws, but there are some benefits. And the third one is all of a sudden becomes part of it. I remember, like, in our industry, people used to do translation on typewriters. and then all of a sudden you have a word processor. Oh, it was hard to accept. You mean I don't need to lug that big thing with me everywhere I go? So at the beginning, it was sort of like, it's a big change. It's dramatic. But now we have a technology that people cannot live without.
For sure.
And the same thing going on with AI now.
And do you remember when they were coming up with this thing called the internet, and it was going to be like emails, and it was going to save us so much time instead of sending mail or snail mail? And everybody said, oh yeah, it's going to save us time. That's great. Well, we find that, you know, it takes a lot more time because we're doing so much and we're not as focused as we like to be. So the pursuit of meaningful goals and what we want to do and just really having a focus of what we really want to do and what's going to make us happy and what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses, and using those weaknesses to train them, to change them into strengths.
That's right. And, you know, when we talk about embracing new things or new technologies, look, the impetus for this, the starting point was that, A, you're trying to do something, whatever that task is at hand, and you're trying to do it using the traditional methods. And there were some obstacles, you know, obstacles of capacity, obstacle of delivery on time, obstacle of doing more with less, but you did not have the enough individuals to do it. I mean, I'm always reminded, you know, if you want to translate all the contents that exist in Canada, you probably need every individual of the 40 million people that lives in Canada to become a translator.
And when you're translating, do you find that sometimes people will use other tools to translate and they don't translate it well? So like some of the words don't translate or the way the tools that we have can translate them in different ways.
That's right. So yeah, there is. And the other part of it is that if you want to have everybody, you know, doing the professional thing, going to university, study for 5 years, and then come out and become a linguist, well, that's a lofty goal. And you may end up with only 20 or 30 people going to university studying this particular sure. domain, which is, you know, is it the most attractive domain? No, it's not like doctors, lawyers, etc. It's a different domain. And, you know, some people still do it, but less and less now. So hence the need for other ways to do what's necessary to be done. And I'm talking about languages, but that could be applied to anything really, automotive, pharmaceutical, you know, aerospace, it doesn't matter what field. The design of us as a human, we have limited capacity to produce, and AI is amplifying this, is giving us a lot more capacity to produce. And, you know, just talk about the contents being generated right now. People used to write articles. They used to sit down and write articles. Okay, so I used to do my blog, for instance. I'm on a plane, you know, 2-3 hour flight. I write a blog post. Now I can write a blog post within 30 minutes using AI and editing it. The key point here is that we need to shape the technology and don't let the technology shape us.
And having our core values in as part of that. So having a mindfulness, having a gratitude, and AI without our help can't be doing everything for us. So having, you know, like if you wake up in the morning and you said, oh, it's so bad today, the weather is off, or you say, yay, it's going to be a great day, seize the day. So even if it's not sunny, like what's the happiness involved in the day? You just have to find the goodness. And AI doesn't know how to do that unless you tell it. So you have to help it along. So it's all
good. Right. That's right. Absolutely. And in your environment, like Tova, what is your recommendation for people in general who are going through, transformative times, either on their personal life or industry in general that's changing on them? And the anxiety associated, how do you remedy that? Have you been through this?
For sure. So we have all had, as a 6-time cancer survivor and so many other things in, you know, over the decades, it's how you take care of yourself. It's, if you keep it inside, it just makes it, it festers. It makes it worse and worse. So having good people in your life that are your teammates, that are your mentors, that are your coaches. And I'm not saying you have to have a real coach, but it's even finding those people that will really be on your wavelength, on your happiness level, on your positivity. So if you feel negative, being with a negative person, you're going to feel more negative. If you're feeling positive, being with somebody that loves or exudes positive, that's the way you're going to feel better. So asking for help is big. And I'm always here. I'm sure you are too, Robin, because I know you from the past, that knowing that you like to help people. So you wouldn't be having me on if you didn't want to help people. And it's showing that kindness and showing that development of how and who you are. But again, asking for help and knowing when you really need to help. And sometimes when you ask for help, it's actually you or they're giving somebody else help. finding the positivity in your life is, that's really sometimes a challenge. It really is. So putting yourself, like, turn off the TV, don't watch the news, don't listen to the news. It's never like, what a happy day we're having. It's usually negativity. So finding things, reading, finding things that really are your passion, that will help too.
Absolutely. Having a network of positive influencers around you that can take you to the next level that you're destined to go to. If somebody is going through job change, voluntarily or involuntarily, it is helpful a lot of times to have those positive people around you.
Well, again, if you were to go to the store and you wanted to buy some fruit, for example, apples, and you wanted to buy a bushel of apples and you found a rotten apple, would you keep that apple or would you just find the bright, shiny apples? That's what you have to do. You have to find. And if people in your life are toxic, then you got to walk away from the toxicity or really find a happy place with them. Sometimes they're related to you.
So people who are listening to our podcast right now, Tova, so they're asking themselves, they're saying, okay, I'm listening to this. I like what I'm hearing. What is it that you're looking for to get from the audience, whoever's listening to this? Are you looking for people to connect with you? Are you looking for customers? Are you looking for, what is it that you're looking for?
So actually, Robin, I've actually written a couple books and I've done an anthology. And one of the books that's hopefully going to be published this year is called Weathering the Storm. And Weathering the Storm is people that have actually, real stories of people who have gone through some negativity in their life and come through on the great side. So I see your sailboat in the background. It's that sort of mentality. Sometimes we have to sail through a really bad storm in order to get to that calm waters. But, you know, sometimes it's fun to go through the negativity and the high winds in order to have some fun. I'm looking for people that are going to connect with me. I'm looking for lifetime clients that are friends. I'm looking for people that we can connect with and network with, and people that maybe really want to make a great change in the world and make a difference. Because look, we're here for a very short time, but we hope to have lots of children and grandchildren that are going to take over. And we want to be remembered for the good things that we've done in our lives. Let's be that change group of people, and let's really make some difference that people will remember us for, not our negativity, but only our positivity.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we need more people like you, I guess, in the universe out there, because you're right. I mean, watching the 6 o'clock news is just depressing on its own. You don't need anything else in your life. If somebody's looking for a dose of depression, watch the news for 30 minutes and that gets you what you need, I guess. If you try to avoid all of that, you're right. Shut the door down on anything negative in your life. And I have learned this a long time ago. You know, I'm a survivor of the Civil War of Lebanon in the 80s. And, you know, having been through what I've been through in my early childhood and up to my late teens, early adulthood, and knowing where I am right now gives me perspective on a lot of things. And that positivity that it got injected into me after all the drama early in my life have given me a lot to think about and a lot to learn from it and shape my life forward. You know, it's, you know, the never give up statement is just so imprinted in my brain on everything I do. Just, if you want something so bad, and if you don't want to be negative, you don't want to be unhappy, you just go create happiness for yourself. Nobody's going to give it to you.
No, and even in this day and age, there's so much strife in the world. It's knowing that, you know, God forbid we all bleed. Like, you have a cut, we bleed the same color. It's about going to somebody and saying hello and saying, I'm here to be your friend. And it's not about the adversity. And yeah, I get what you went through, and we all go through that, unfortunately. But it's how to make a difference. And sometimes it's just one person at a time. So I read something yesterday about this police officer. He pulled over this guy who didn't have his driver's license renewed. And he asked him, why you don't have your driver's license renewed? He says, I can't afford it. I'm going to a job interview right now and I'm hoping to pay for it next month. But right now I can't pay for my food. I can't pay for my lodging. Anyways, the police officer drove him to the interview and said, I apologize. It's my fault, and helped him get the license and drove him home. So again, it's that nice little comment and just helping others.
Yeah, act of kindness and show kindness everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, this is what initially, like when I created this channel about a year and 3 months now ago, a year, 2 months. And so my original idea was to collect all these conversation into a podcast and have those one-on-ones that they are unscripted, you know, no slide deck, no PowerPoint. Just tell me, you know, come into the channel, come into the podcast and have a conversation from the heart. I am tired, and I'm not sure if everybody is the same as me, the scripted conversations, those conversations with intent and purpose of driving a specific point or selling a specific idea. I'm tired of those. I just want to see what's behind the curtain. When the curtain drops, what's left?
So the Wizard of Oz, do you want to be the wizard or do you want to be Dorothy? And you know, so yes, I'm totally like that. And by the way, in the past, I used to help people with speeches and I used to help people with presentations and it was never about me and I would pretend it was theirs. And I hate the word pretend, but basically I was a ghost writer, a ghost presenter and helping them get, but yeah, coming in front of the curtain. Absolutely. And you're shining with it. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Now, you're in an area where you're speaking to a lot of people, you're talking to a lot of people, you're a book writer, you're, you know, a survivor. By DNA, it seems you're a survivor, which is absolutely marvelous to be talking to you today. I'm going to ask you a question, but I'm not sure, you know, how do you feel about this? Is that if I ask you, like, what is your short-term view on the economy, on the world, on the business in general, and the long-term view? So let's take a short-term view and say 2 years down the road, and let's take a long-term view and say 5 to 10 years.
That's funny.
Where do you see the world moving?
That's funny that you should ask that. So back when I was in university, I went to McMaster in Hamilton and we did the economics of what it was going to look like 20 years from now. Now, those 20 years have passed. Again, I'm only 25 again, but those 25 years have passed and the Hamilton economy has not what we thought it should be. They didn't follow the plan. They didn't fall. It's slowly getting to be where it was. But again, and then doing this in Toronto and doing the same thing around the world, we all can make a huge difference. It just takes one person. But if we allow, and I hate to say this, but allow our politicians to be our voices all the time, then we're going to, if we vote for them, then we're going to, whatever they say, it's their rules. It's important to note that you have to take active roles in who your politicians are, what's happening in the world around you, and how do I see this? Look, there's a story of the two people. One person goes into a new area and says, "What's the area like?" And so the person, the stranger at the gates of the area says, "Well, what was it like behind? It was terrible. Well, you won't like this. You should go on." Next person comes and says, "What's this new area like?" "Well, what was your area like before?" "It was great. You'll love it. Come on in." So it's what you make it. So I can say, yes, it's going to be horrendous. There's going to be inflation. There's going to be the world problems. But you know what? It's all what we make and how we look at it and how we help build those or build those plants and those,
yeah,
those buildings for the future or sow the seeds. If we create and we help, then we can make a difference. And the future, I always looked for goodness, not for bad.
That's right. So we have to stay positive, right? So
absolutely.
I get that. And, you know, that's the human part of us. If we're not positive, what's left of us, really?
Doom and gloom, you know. And we don't want doom and gloom. Doom and gloom is not fun.
Well, I mean, if, you know, our world, if it's doom and gloom, I mean, get to shrink, and nobody wants to live in a world that is isolated. Well, I'm talking about the personal world.
No, and I get that. And the anxiety and the depression and the overweightness and all the health issues that come with that's yep, part and parcel. So if it's getting yourself into a good place. So it's being, knowing that maybe there is something wrong. Maybe there is something that I need to help with that one part. But knowing yourself and knowing what your limitations are and how to be growing as a person. I'm a very short person, I have to tell you. I'm under 5 foot, so I'm very short. But one day when I grow up, I'm going to be really tall. So it's that mindset. It's having a great mindset and knowing how to help each other. But knowing who is the right person? Like, if you're, if you want to be unsuccessful, ask the unsuccessful person. If you want to be successful, ask a successful person. So it's that always going above you and not being afraid to ask. People want to help each other.
My last question, I guess, before we wrap it up, I have a question for you regarding creativity. I know you're on the, you know, Toastmaster, you've been 16 years at it. And you're right, it's not about eating toast or doing toast. But I would like to ask you a question for those, for the audience who struggles with the area of creativity when it comes to, you know, being on the spot, or how do you feed your creativity? Like, what's the, is there a magic formula to come up with, go from white page on a paper to something creative that is on it? And I'm talking not just in writing, in verbal communication, etc.
For sure. So actually, I have always lots of little books to write in. And it's great to have a computer. It's great to have a phone. It's great to have a tablet. But if you write things down in the world around you, if you write things down, that you will actually have ideas. Things happen that are so funny that you have to pay attention. So I'm looking at the pictures behind you. I'm looking at the sailboat behind you, and they're very thought-provoking. So if you see something in nature, if you see something that makes you happy, write about it. And then you can make notes for afterwards. So I'm always writing. I'm always looking for that tidbit. So sometimes I'll hear this great comment and thought, yes, let's make a quick comment. Because when you have, when you write it down with your pen to paper, and I know this is old school, and I'm very much a techie too, so I get this, but it, there's a thought process from your brain to your heart and to your hand, you will actually remember things better. So it's actually good to practice, but having like just daily gratitude, daily kindness, affirmations, things like this will really help you. But writing things down and maybe taking a picture of it on, even on your cell phone, if you don't know how to do photography, but just remembering what is it that makes you happy. And I don't know about you, Robin, I have a theme song and also a theme book. The Little Engine That Could, it was a little children's book. That's my book that is my go-to, but also having the song, I Will Survive, you know, when I'm really having fun, Margaritaville, Wasting Away Again, because I just love, he passed away last year, but I love Jimmy Buffett. I'm a parrot head, definitely am, so.
Excellent. So the idea here, correct me if I'm wrong, to summarize, is collect those gems of ideas, collect those gems of whatever they are for you, being a quote, being a joke, being something that resonates with you, and collect them into what I call, and you know, put them in a some sort of a library of thoughts, of ideas, however you want to collect them, in writing, on a tablet, by pictures, etc. You know, I know myself, if I see something nice scrolling down on my computer, if I'm waiting for somebody or I have a few minutes for myself, I take a lot of screenshots of my computer. It doesn't matter what it is, a wisdom, a joke, etc. And I collect them in a specific folder on my Google Photos. So when I, you know, and I'm bored and I don't have Wi-Fi access, I'm on a plane or somewhere, I just go through them and sort of juggle my memory as to, you know, next time I'm talking to somebody, I'm going to use some of those.
Well,
is that the idea?
That's the idea too. But also one of the things that I learned in Toastmasters that I never knew is they do it like a 2-minute speech on things that you're just given a word or a thought and how to talk. It's like the elevator speech. What do you say about yourself? How do you talk about yourself if you don't know how? But giving you a word and saying, okay, now I want you to go. Tell me what that word means to you. And it's basically thinking on your feet, which is, that's really hard to do.
You know, one of the hardest thing, I think everybody can agree to that, is one of the hardest thing is two questions. One is when you ask somebody a question, tell me about yourself. That's hard because most people will stumble. They chew their words when they come out and they're not prepared for the question to begin with. And the second one is equally hard is what do you do? Like when I've gotten so many people, when I ask them, like, what do you do? And, you know, they're not, again, like when they're coming on a podcast, of course, they're prepared for it. They know how to do it. But when you catch people like in an elevator or you're having a conversation with somebody in the parking lot, say, what do you do? And that conversation seems to stomp people. And those are the two conversations that you should practice, I think.
Absolutely.
Quite a bit, because that's your opening statement to the world.
There's this one lady that I met a long time ago, and she said, make it interesting. So if you're a mortgage agent, you don't just say, I do mortgages, because there's lots of mortgage agents. Maybe I help people get their dream home.
So that's right.
It's how you package it's like a birthday gift. If you're going to wrap it in toilet paper, or you're going to wrap it in beautiful paper and a bow on top. So how you package it, for sure.
That's right. Well, we're coming up to the end of our conversation. I really want to thank you, Tova, for coming in on our podcast. I really enjoyed our conversation with you.
Me too.
And I hope you can drop by sometime next time.
I would love that. That would be so much fun.
And I look forward to be hosted on your own podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
It'd be my honor. And also, I want to thank our audience for listening in. Thank you for joining us on podcasts on YouTube. We'd really appreciate it if you can give us a like, share, comment, engage with our content. We really appreciate that. And Tova, any last comments before we stop the recording?
I just started a new website. So go to sbwsales.com. Check out our blog. Check out our podcast. And like and share and comment. There'll be lots of contests coming soon. Thank you so much, Robin. I really appreciate being here today.
Yeah, thank you, Tova. And to our audience, this is Robin Ayoub and Tova Gayson signing off. Until next time.
Bye.